best.
Word of Mouth Wednesday. This is our show for November the 3rd. Wednesday, November the 3rd, 2010. It is our Day of Reckoning special as the Tea Party rides to victory in the U.S. congressional elections. Austerity measures are being implemented worldwide. Politics are swinging to the right while activists are wondering what's left. The question's been asked, and tonight we're got a special lineup of reflections on President Obama's loss of the House of Congress, plus hip-hop culture on the reel with the Manifesto Festival 2010 speech of wake-up call to the hip-hop community, featuring Ernie Pinacoli, and then also the Free Mumia Abu-Jamal upcoming rally coming up next week, and then also the G20 Toronto pursuit of truth that will not stop. All that and more tonight on the Word of Mouth Wednesday, 7 to 8 p.m. CKLN 88.1 FM in Toronto, broadcasting at Ryerson University. This is the Word of Mouth Wednesday. My name is Daniel Libby, and stay tuned. All that and more coming up tonight. Word up. It's the Word of Mouth Wednesday. Word of Mouth.
There were a whole range of factors that made people concerned that maybe the party in power wasn't listening to them. This is something that I think every president needs to go through because the responsibilities of this office are so enormous and so many people are depending on what we do. And in the rush of activity, sometimes we lose track of the ways that we connected with folks that got us here in the first place. And that's something that I'm not recommending for every future president that they take a shellacking like I did last night.
Word of Mouth Wednesday. So that was some of the words there from Barack Obama, Barack H. Obama, the 44th President of the United States, speaking earlier today, actually, a press conference held on the issue of the elections that took place last night and the loss of the Congress. The Democrats lost the Congress. I actually got the full, I got a breakdown here, some numbers here if in case you're looking for the real results. The word on the USA elections from realclearpolitics.com. And keep in mind, some of the races are still not projected. Some of them are still being added up, and I guess some of them are too close to call, but of the numbers we got Obama, we've got the Senate, the Democrats with 52 seats, losing six last night, and then the Republicans with 46 seats, they gained six last night, and then the House, the Congress, that's where the Democrats lost 61, so they're down now to 185 seats, and then the Republicans gained 61, so they got 240 seats. The Republicans now take the House with their Tea Party ride to through the red. Well, in terms of governor, also the Republicans are ahead there. They've Democrats lost eight Democratic governors last night. There's 16 Democratic governors. Republicans 29 with a gain of seven. So how did those numbers work out? Well, there was actually one independent governor elected last night, the governor of Rhode Island, Lincoln Chafee, campaigning for integrity, independence, and a new way forward. Governor of Rhode Island is an independent, so keep that in mind when you're thinking about this on this topic of the election. Well, here is where President Obama got into thinking about, you know, what are some of the things that that have gone on, thinking about, you know, just some reflections. Here is another clip from that press conference earlier today. Here are some thoughts on Obama and the Democrats losing the House.
You know, the question I think that my Republican friends and me and our Democratic leaders are going to have to answer is, what are our priorities? What do we care about? And that's going to be a tough debate. because there are some tough choices here. We already had a big deficit that I inherited, and that has been made worse because of the recession. As we bring it down, I want to make sure that we're not cutting into education that is going to help define whether or not we can compete around the world. I don't think we should be cutting back on research and development, because if we can develop new technologies in areas like clean energy, that could make all the difference in terms of job creation here at home. I think the proposal that I've put forward with respect to infrastructure is one that historically we've had bipartisan agreement about. And we should be able to agree now that it makes no sense for China to have better rail systems than us, and Singapore having better airports than us. And we just learned that China now has the fastest supercomputer on Earth. That used to be us. They're making investments because they know those investments will pay off over the long term. And so in these budget discussions, the key is to be able to distinguish between stuff that isn't adding to our growth, isn't an investment in our future, and those things that are absolutely necessary for us to be able to increase job growth in the future as well. Now, the single most important thing I think we need to do economically, and this is something that has to be done during the lame duck session, is making sure that taxes don't go up on middle-class families next year.
So there we have a pledge there from the President Barack Obama. A number one goal is to make sure that the taxes don't go up for the middle class. So now we're getting some of the words there, a bit of the breakdown of how Obama is addressing this situation of losing control of the House, losing the House, and the Republican, this strong showing with the Tea Party and these Republican red candidates. Well, Obama's looking to go more bipartisan, which is actually working with, having Democrats and Republicans working together. He's looking to, still get things going here with what's been going on here. And this is the midterm point for Obama here. It's been actually 2 years. It's 2 years to the week since the president was elected in the first week of November of 2008. Actually, November 5th, 2008 was our Obama special when Obama had been elected the president. And what's gone on since then? Well, we're talking about trillions of dollars have gone on since then. And the situation as well with what's gone on with the Federal Reserve. Now, the Federal Reserve made an announcement that I'm going to try to get you some details on. But first, we're just going to hear another clip here of President Obama. Here's the last one we'll play here on just some ideas, some of the ways to move forward. How can the Democrats and Republicans dig themselves out of this? With working together, or are they going to be working apart? Or, well, here is what the Commander-in-Chief, the President of the United States, has to say.
I think it makes sense for us to extend unemployment insurance, because there's still a lot of folks out there hurting. So there's some things that we can do right now that will help sustain the recovery and advance it, even as we're also sitting down and figuring out, okay, over the next several years, what kinds of budget cuts can we make that are intelligent, that are smart, that won't be undermining our recovery, but in fact will be encouraging job growth.
Most of those things that you just called investments, they call wasteful spending, and they say it's dead on arrival. It sounds like without their support, you can't get any of it through.
Well, what is absolutely true is that if without any Republican support on anything, then it's going to be hard to get things done. But I'm not going to anticipate that they're not going to support anything. I think that part of the message sent to Republicans was, we want to see stronger job growth in this country. And, you know, if there are good ideas about putting people to work that traditionally have garnered Republican support and that don't add to the deficit, then my hope is and expectation is that that's something they're willing to have a serious conversation about.
Word up, word of mouth Wednesday, having a serious conversation, serious thoughts, serious subjects we're talking about here. When we're talking about the United States, and most specifically the U.S. dollar, the U.S. dollar headline I got here, U.S. dollars take the tumble due to the Fed's announcement. So today the Federal Reserve made an announcement about a further step in quantitative easing. This is one of the ideas, maybe not the president might not have listed that as one of his ideas in there, but it's all tied together with this, with the way out, I guess, the stimulus that we're seeing going on here. We've got a headline here talking about the Federal Reserve will buy an additional $600 billion in treasuries through June. So every month they're going to, you know, a few more billion dollars, you know, worth of bonds. What we're talking about I'm even just looking at this article right here that I got. It's from the San Francisco Gate, San Francisco Chronicle newspaper. And it's saying here that the chairman, Ben Bernanke's near zero interest rates and $1.7 trillion in asset purchases helped end the recession. So they're giving credit to the chairman of the Federal Reserve, Ben Bernanke, for ending the recession, and also to Ben Bernanke for buying $1.7 trillion in assets of America, I guess, helping boost the economy. The Federal Reserve is the main driver here. This is why... This is why it's interesting that the Tea Party was so, had a lot of winning candidates yesterday, because a lot of the Tea Party was founded on this major pledge is to modify the Federal Reserve system, to take it away from the private banking interests and put it back into the Congress. That's what Ron Paul, I guess, when he founded this Tea Party whole thing, was standing for. And he's got the book and the Fed, and his son won the Kentucky Senate last night. So this is why it's an interesting situation that we're into, because of, well, the way forward. What we're seeing is a lot of the world talking about austerity measures. We're seeing that in the G20. We're seeing it in Europe. We're even hearing about it here in Canada. The U.S. If they're doing austerity measures, it's somewhat hidden, because what they're doing now is a further stimulus spending. We're talking about $600 billion in treasuries that the Fed is going to buy, and that's U.S. treasuries that the Federal Reserve Bank of the United States buys of its own country. This is the kind of announcement that I just got to take a breath here, because when I look at this next headline here, I got one here from Reuters International here, Brazil. Brazil said on Wednesday it's worried the U.S. Federal Reserve's plan to buy billions more in bonds. Brazil says the Fed policy impoverishes other nations. And this is an interesting quote that we're seeing here, is a whole section of headlines coming out of Brazil criticizing the Fed's move. And Brazil is interesting to mention because Brazil, they have a new president, I believe, this week, but they've also got the announcement, I think last week, that they made that they're not going to attend the G20 meeting in Seoul, South Korea, which is coming up next weekend. And we're going to have more on that a bit later on in the show, because we got to warn the people of Korea, because we went through it here in Toronto. We've been through a G20, less than 6 months ago. So, what I'll do here is I'll catch up here, my thoughts here, and catch some good hip-hop music here. We're going to check out The Collapse. This is a track by Akashic Ancestors, quite fitting for a day when a $600 billion announcement is made by Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke. Here's the Akashic Ancestors featuring Rasul Allah. It's The Collapse.
The Federal Reserve System have never been audited. It operates outside the control of Congress and manipulates the credit of the United States.
Snuff in the discussion of money hungry pundits, some are guiding your impulse, and I'm chopping
from the tarp.
Akhenaten, Obama's Wall Street offices profit from the dominance of the Fed and offer us losses instead of the option of getting ahead. Bereft, stressed at the estimations of economic collapse, we should take a page from the architects of the past and direct an attack at the central banking system. Armageddon central stage, take aim and break the rhythms that keep your brain in prison. I'll paint you a picture reminiscent of modern day slaves caged in a bank's satanistic benediction, an administration's blatant allegiance to Wall Street, secretive malfeasance of greed. And it's reason this season of evil ascension. The Glass-Steagall firewall's lifted. It's time to debt these tyrants. Manifested from a secret elitist conference in the depths of Jekyll Island. Let's rectify the suppressive threats of duress and press the violence to the doorsteps with the Righteous Alliance. An activist bond, son of Saturn, I move more than the lost children of Babylon. Collapse the fascist con, gather the data and pass it on. My word is bond. Let's murk them all. My word is bond, let's murk them all. My word is bond, let's murk them all.
This is the fall of the republic, the collapse of the federal government, the freedom, the fascism, yeah.
Yo, we will overcome it.
We will overcome it. We will overcome it. Yeah, yeah, we'll overcome it.
Collapse the prison. We blast back at their religions of monetary control, blowing holes in the system.
We will overcome it. We will overcome it. We will overcome it. Yeah, yeah, we'll overcome it.
This is the fall of the republic, the collapse of the federal government, the relapse of a fascist regime fashioned after the protocols of Zion, the mathematical system systematically forming the destruction of the world economy. Economic system, Hegelian, dialectical psychology, Anglo-Saxon theology creates a philosophy equivalent to that of the Nazis. Behold the fallacies of America's financial history. A legion of Luciferian banksters create legal tenders in the form of Masonic letters placed in the U.S. Treasury and formulated social security. Mental enslavement, your thoughts are trapped in illuminating pyramids where your mind is lost in the web of the Illuminati's illusions. What's your solution? It's pollution of the world. As your mind switches in a swirl, I'm the son of Saturn, the lost children.
I'm on more, here, here.
This is the fall of the republic, the collapse of the federal government, the freedom, the fascism,
yeah.
We will overcome it.
We will overcome it.
We will overcome it. Yo, we will overcome it.
Collapse the prison. We blast back at their religions of monetary control, blowing holes in the system.
We will overcome it. We will overcome it. And yo, we will overcome it.
We will overcome it.
Follow us down the Nautilus where we don't have a pot to piss, or much less, yo, a window.
Area 51.
Roam these blocks of the metropolis, hoping these cops won't frisk. Me, my Akashic twin, are one of Babylon's forgotten kids. Forgive me of my sins, but I'll rip that watch right off your wrist. And press machetes to your larynx if you try to flush your whip. We're constantly surveilled under the all-seeing eye of Providence. In a realm where tyrants prevail and they're not afraid to put our lives in the
period of austerity.
The price is right, it's for sale. You can catch me racking diamond designer sets from sales. Out for the jewels. I'm on more while hell, the pirate from hell. On 23-hour lockdown in the federal, writing rhymes from his little cell. The sentence is pretentious, convicted of robbing the system. Yeah, nah, they didn't want the competition. Y'all should listen, check it. This is how they got their victims. They burglarized their spine without even cocking pistols. The logic missed you. You were back into the pawn shop and they offered you fistfuls of worthless papers in return for your precious metals. This is how the Fed get fed, dude, and it leaves the public poor. There'll be a cool spot under a shade.
Conspiracy theory.
This is the fall of the republic, the collapse of the federal government, the freedom, the fascism. We will overcome it. We will overcome it.
Yo, we will overcome it.
Hey, yo, we will overcome it.
Collapse the prison.
Yo.
We blast back at their religions of monetary control, blowing holes in the system.
We'll overcome it. Yeah, yeah, we'll overcome it. We'll overcome it, come it. Yeah, yeah, we'll overcome it. Yeah. The fall of the republic, the collapse of the federal government, the freedom, the fascism. We will overcome it. Yeah, yeah, we'll overcome it. And since we know it's coming, hell yeah, we'll overcome it. Akashic ancestors.
Word of Mouth Wednesday back here on the show. And just actually when we're off the air, we actually got a call in to the station. Caller, do we have you on the line?
Yes, you do. Hi.
Okay, great. Hey. Hi. Yeah, and you had been mentioning something about what I had been saying about the situation with Brazil. What were your thoughts?
I think the issues about what goes on with the Federal Reserve and currency trading can be a little bit obscure to most of us. It's not difficult if you put some energy learning it, but we don't have a lot of time, you know? And it is kind of a tricky concept to wrap your brain around. But really, what it comes down to is that for the very long period of time right now, the U.S. has been propping up their ability to continue to purchase things, not only with a lot of debt, but with creating more and more dollars so that there's dollars out there. But the value of dollars is not really creating new jobs, right? Because that's the idea. You put it out there. So what's been happening is it's all been corrupt for so long, and it's just gone, you know, out of the roof. But the reality is what the U.S. is doing now with buying back some of these bonds that they've given up for no interest to private investors is that they are now forcing the investors to say, hey, you got to cut back now. You've been living off your millions and billions, and the gravy train is ending. You've had enough of these policies because we had to do it to keep some stability in the economy that was existing already when the housing market tanked after the bubble, right? So that's a good policy for America. But the problem is, at the same time that they're engaging in these policies at home and pointing a finger at China for doing the same thing, I should add, what they are doing is creating policies that are asymmetrical. They are forcing with their foreign policy countries like Brazil and other places with the might of, you know, their influence on the world stage and the capacity that they have within international markets, which are very deep in the American side of things. What they're doing is they're forcing these people to still engage in policies that are beneficial to them while engaging in policies that are going to be detrimental to Brazil, on the other hand. So there's an asymmetry in trade here, and it's important to, you know, think about that before we start becoming Fox News versus CNN or the Tea Party and, you know, a bunch of socialists or whatever creationists you want to make. You have to think more deeply about how these processes work, because these processes are about how we live our life. And just like our life is complex, the way that we manage it is complex.
For real, yeah. Thanks a lot for sharing some of your thoughts here.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me on.
All right, word.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. All right, and so that was some words there. And I guess if anybody's got any other thoughts on these are some big issues we've been talking about here. You can give us a call here. Our on-air number, 416-595-1655. 416-595-1655 to contact us here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday. And with all that's gone on, with all that's happened, it is, you know, it's always good to get some thoughts on, you know, on other issues too, because, you know, we're going to get into a segment here that I got here that is a segment that is recorded at the event at this campus right here, Ryerson University, which is in downtown Toronto. It was in the main building here on Gould Street in the library building, and it took place at the end of September. There was the So Much Things to Say speaker series, which was put on by the Manifesto Festival as well as the Ryerson Students Union. And one of the speakers was very interesting to hear, and I'm going to play a clip here of his speech at Ryerson, and it's a speech of Ernie Panicoli, who is a famous photographer in the hip-hop community, and this is a speech here that it was at the Manifesto, and it's speaking on a lot of issues from the perspective of someone that's been in hip hop, you know, from the beginning. Well, he's going to explain that here. Without any further ado, here are some words, here is some knowledge, and here is some stuff you might not hear anywhere else. This is Ernie Panicoli at the Manifesto Festival 2010. Word up.
Toronto, please welcome Ernie Panicoli.
In the Bible, in scriptures, it says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Too often, too many of us hear things, repeat it, and believe it, and the perception becomes reality. How many of you in here believe that you are descended from slaves? May I see your hands, please? Truth is, and especially in America, North America, that is not the case. There were no slaves. There were no slaves in America. Black people were not slaves. Now I know you're all getting ready to leave and say this man's insane. The truth is, those were people that were stolen from their land and put into a condition of slavery. There was no such thing as a slave. A slave is a condition you're put into. And now, in this generation, with all of the electronics and all of the communication and all of the information, you're becoming slaves again. You're becoming slaves to technologic things, your BlackBerries and everything else. And as a slave, you can no longer function, think, and do critical thinking. KRS-One said so beautifully that there's a disease worse than AIDS, and condoms and all of the gels and all of the everything cannot protect you from it. This disease is rampant. You can get it by sitting next to someone on the train or the bus. And because the government is responsible for the creation of this disease and the proliferation of this disease, they're not letting you know about it, but I'm going to let you know about it. It's called CSDS. Does anybody know what CSDS is? It's Common Sense Deficiency Syndrome. And you could get it from watching TV, listening to Lil Wayne, and how many of you believe that hip-hop is a culture? Let me see your hands. Come on. Raise them hands if you believe it. Now, this sister twice didn't raise her hand. If I had something to give away, I'd give it to her. Hip-hop, and I'm only going to say this once, is not a culture. Yes, I'm a member. I'm a Zulu King. I'm a member of the Universal Zulu Nation. I'm best friends with Afrika Bambaataa. We have meetings once a month. He's had me as the keynote speaker at the Indigenous Peoples Conference and at the Meeting of the Minds at the Zulu Anniversaries. Hip-hop is not a culture. Take that, write it down, get it tattooed on your butt cheek. Hip-hop is not a culture. Hip-hop is comprised, and don't listen to KRS, there's nine elements, there's four elements. And those four elements are graffiti, DJing, MCing, and b-boying or dance. They are art forms. And they have a commonality in that they came from the streets, but they're an art form. Because you can do them, but the only way you can really do them is if you have an audience. A culture does not demand an audience. Islam, Judaism, Christianity, Buddhism, the Aztec and Mayan, and all the First Nations, we did not need an audience in order to have a culture. But at the same time, and follow me, please, because I'm disrupting your train. I'm knocking that train off the track, and you're like, wait, hip-hop is a culture. You're going to leave here, you're still going to believe it. Because you've been told it, and you've been told it. You said it, you believe it. Some of you even got it tattooed on, you know, your arm or something. Hip-hop is not a culture, it's an art form, and you got to understand that thing that's called hip-hop, how many of you know what year it began? Somebody, come on. Buddha, anybody? What year did hip-hop begin? 73. Anybody else? 79? 78? Wrong. Didn't start in the 70s, and it didn't start in the Bronx, and it didn't start in Queens, and Brooklyn keeps faking it. Queens, no. Hip-hop has always been with us. The spirit of hip-hop. Again, critical thinking. Anything that is correct and truthful has to be able to pass certain basic exams. It has to pass certain prototypes. There's certain things that you have to do to prove a theory. Okay, very simply, we've always had dance. Native people danced if we had a baby, if we had crops growing, if we were getting ready to go to battle, if someone was getting married. There's a bunch of things to dance for. The renewal of the spirits, the renewal of the crops and the seasons. So dance has always been with us. Well, they didn't have DJs. Oh, no. Did they have a drum? If they had a drum, then that's the DJ. They didn't have MCs. They didn't have MCs. KRS and Kool G Rap and Lil Wayne with his pants sagging, we didn't have that. Oh, we didn't have MCs, huh? I believe we had storytellers. I believe we had medicine men and teachers. So we've always had the MC. Well, we didn't have graffiti. I know we didn't have graffiti. Oh, no? Did you ever see sand paintings? Did you ever look at the tribal tattoos? Did you ever look at any of our paintings, any of our artwork? Have you ever seen the manifestation of art in our communities? In other words, hip-hop has always been with us. The thing is that you cannot colonize a culture. You cannot colonize a people, but you can colonize their minds and their hearts and their souls. And you can make them slaves if their minds are slaves. I'm here to liberate you, but I'm not a leader. I'm not going to ask you to join my church or my sect or my cult or my anything. What I am doing is I'm a big red alarm clock. I want to wake you all up. And there are certain things that you have to do. One of the things you have to do is you have to find out what you need. The second thing you have to do is unite with those around you who have the ability to work together to create that thing that you need. The third thing is that you have to have a plan. And the fourth thing that's missing from hip-hop is that there is no action. KRS-One, again, I hate to keep bringing his tired behind up, but he kept saying that hip-hop is two words, hip meaning that you're the smartest people in the world. You are the hippest people in the world. And hop means you got the energy to get up and take care of it, whether it's dance or art or whatever. But hip is no longer hopping. We have two illegal wars going on. We have hundreds of people being killed every day. So what they did was they threw you in the United States a black president. I'm Obama. And you all went back to sleep. CSDS bit you on the behind. Let me ask you a question. For those of you who do not believe the Right Reverend Brother Ernie, that hip-hop is not a culture, if right now this brother here with the beautiful shirt and a beautiful face breaks a leg, does he go to a hip-hop doctor? If that lovely lady there has a legal problem, does she go to a hip-hop lawyer? If you got a spiritual problem, do you go to a hip-hop priest? If some of you need money or a loan, do you go to a hip-hop bank? I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to hurt somebody's feelings. For 5 years, I was asked 5 years ago to become part of a secret organization called the Federation. It's called, the proper name is the Federation for the Preservation of Hip-Hop Culture. In order to be part of the Federation for the Preservation of Hip-Hop Culture, you had to have been part of the original wave. KRS, Chuck D, there was a whole litany of people, Run DMC, that were not eligible because they were not there in 1974 when hip-hop first came together. And I was asked to be part of that. So I was part of it for 5 years, and I just resigned when we found out there was going to be a national hip-hop museum, and we had a big rally. We had photographers and press from around the world, and everybody got together and talked about what they were going to do to combat this national hip-hop museum. And what the people did was they got up on a panel and they bragged about stuff they did in 74, 75, 78. I was the first Chinese left-handed DJ. I was the first cross-eyed Puerto Rican b-boy. I was the first black guy who had an afro in a movie, you know. So there was no talk about money. There was no talk about economics. There was none of the things that I just defined about the things that you have to do to create change. You must first find out what you need. You must second, unify with a group of like-minded people. You must third, form a specific plan and find out the viability of that plan. And the fourth thing you have to do is action. So after 5 years of being with Grandmaster Flash, Kool Herc, Bambaataa, you know, Yoda, the Crash Crew, Grandmaster Caz and Cold Crush and all these other people, I resigned from the Federation because they did not walk the walk. They talked the talk. So I'm going to hit you with this one last time, even though I said I wouldn't repeat it. Hip-hop is not a culture. It's a variety of art forms, and they're united under an ancient spirit which has always been with us. And I suggest to you that if hip-hop has failed us, that we need to do something. We need to create a new energy, and that energy is predicated upon love and the respect for those that came before us and those ideas that worked. You all now have technology that I could only have fantasized about as a young man. In my house, we didn't have a phone. In my building, we didn't have a phone. In my neighborhood, we didn't have a telephone. You know, I see six-year-old kids with phones and texting each other. And I've walked down the street, I see 10 people coming towards me, and all of them are texting and communicating with people other than the 9 people they're with. That is insanity. That is CSDS. That's common sense deficiency syndrome.
Word up, word of mouth Wednesday. So that was just a bit there of the speech. Ernie Pinacoli, that was a speech that took place at the So Much Things to Say speaker series presented in association with the Ryerson Students Union, the RSU, and the Manifesto Festival Community and Festival of Community and Culture, which was the 4th annual Manifesto Festival this year in 2010. A bit about Ernie Pinacoli, from shooting graph on the New York subways in the mid-70s to the release of his own photography book, Who Shot Ya, in 2002, to being asked to represent hip-hop in an address to the United Nations. Photographer Ernie Pinacoli has documented hip-hop for over 3 decades. And that was a bit there of the speech. The speech is actually about a half-hour speech, and I had a part two. I have a part two, which we might get into playing in a future week. But if you want to actually watch the whole thing, you can check it out online, actually, on the video. And the video I actually helped out on the Manifesto TV, working on it. Is available at the Manifesto website, themanifesto.ca, and then you check out Manifesto TV, and you can find the whole speech of Ernie Pinacoli. And in terms of hip-hop, and in terms of what we're going to be getting into, it's been an interesting week, and then it's also, you know, there's some good hip-hop going on in the city. Dead Prez was in town last week. That was a dope show, which I was working on that Manifesto TV as well there. So hopefully you're going to get to see some footage of that, too, if you missed out. Also going on this last weekend was the CKLN AGM. So it was good to see the CKLN community was out, and good to get a bit more information on what has been going down, or what's been going on at the radio station here. And what we're going to get into now, though, just because I got a clip sent in from the co-host, Robin Nieto, who wasn't able to make it down to the station tonight, but he has prepared something here on the oil subsidy price. So without further ado, here is a report here filed by Robin Nieto just moments ago. Check it out, oil subsidy price.
This week, government subsidies to the oil industry in Canada was given a price. The government of Canada and the provincial governments of Alberta, Saskatchewan, Newfoundland, and Labrador together subsidized the oil industry in this country to the tune of $2.84 billion. That price was released today by an independent group based in Winnipeg called the International Institute for Sustainable Development. The study concluded that the federal government was responsible for subsidies worth $1.4 billion in 2008. The Alberta government's production subsidies were worth $1.1 billion, while Saskatchewan helped with $327 million, and Newfoundland and Labrador gave $83 million worth of relief. The study also predicts that the cost of subsidies to governments will double by 2020, and greenhouse gases will continue to increase in Canada. Tonight I spoke with Keith Stewart. He is a climate campaigner at Greenpeace, about what this means to the environment and what this means to Canadians.
Canadian governments at the federal and provincial level are giving $2.8 billion of public money to oil companies each year so that they can wreck the planet even faster. It's crazy that we're giving all of this money to some of the wealthiest, most powerful companies in the world so that they can expand production in the tar sands and offshore in the ocean. What we should be looking at instead is actually promoting renewable energy, energy efficiency that's going to take us to a world beyond oil, so that we're not actually heating up the planet and leaving a legacy of ecological devastation for the next generation.
So, Keith, what does renewable energy look like?
Well, if you're looking at how do we get off oil, it's going to look a lot like great public transit systems that get you where you need to go when you need to get there. They're going to be actually powered by electricity, so it's going to be streetcars, subways, increasingly electric buses. It looks like having vehicles which go a lot further for the amount of oil or fuel that they're using as we make the transition to super efficient vehicles powered by electricity. And that electricity is going to be coming from the wind, from the sun, from the rain. It's going to be those types of energy that we can't actually run out of because they're keep being provided. Rather than tapping into these underground reserves of oil or coal, which you can only use once, and when you put all that carbon back up into the atmosphere, it heats up the planet just like a blanket, which is going to throw ecosystems out of whack and make it harder to farm, make it harder for species to survive, and just make it a lot harder for future generations to enjoy the same quality of life we have today.
So it seems like a very practical thing to do, logical, but governments have not done it, and they've said, and the argument has been that renewables just won't give us as much energy as, you know, fossil fuels and nuclear energy.
Well, the real reason we haven't done this is simply because the oil industry is an incredibly powerful lobbying force down at, you know, Parliament Hill or in provincial legislatures. There's actually not a lot of jobs in oil. It's an incredibly capital-intensive industry. But it's one with a lot of political swing. And so they've managed to get these tax breaks to sort of hide some of these subsidies to increase their own profit margins. The wind guys, they don't have that kind of pull. And so what we actually need is citizens to be telling our governments, we want you to be supporting green energy, and we don't want you handing our money over to the big polluters.
So if there was some kind of public pressure on the government and they started to invest in green energy, what would that process look like?
Well, the first thing that would happen was we'd actually eliminate the subsidies of the fossil fuel industry. That's the first big step. The next thing is we'd actually be passing legislation right across the country that looks a lot like Ontario's Green Energy Act, which was actually modeled on the very successful German programs for promoting renewable energy. And in fact, in the first 6 months of the Green Energy Act coming into effect, Ontario signed contracts for more renewable energy than they were actually planning to get in the next 20 years. That power is coming online now. It's, you know, it works, it's affordable, and it doesn't wreck the planet. We'd also need our federal and provincial governments to be investing in public transit, in intercity transit, particularly rail, increasingly electrified. And we need them to have better planning rules so that you don't have to drive everywhere. We need communities that you can actually walk or cycle in. And when you do need to get around, we need those vehicles to be super efficient, and we need to start getting off of the old dirty fuels and on to clean fuels by switching to electric vehicles that can be powered by the wind or the sun.
Tell me about something about the electrical demand here in Ontario. Is electrical demand being going up, or is it being going down?
Yeah, most people think that energy demand will just keep going up forever. Well, the reality is, in Ontario, demand has been dropping for the last 5 years. And in fact, it's now down to about the same level it was in 1989. We could cut this in half again if we reached the efficiency levels per person that they have in Europe. Europeans use about half the electricity we do here in Canada each. So there's still a lot of room for improving energy efficiency and for actually just simply using less. And that's actually the best environmental solution, because it's also the best for your pocketbook, because if your house is going to be warm and your beer is going to be cold and you're going to have a hot shower in the morning and you're using half the energy you used to, you know, all that's changed is you're paying less.
Tell me something about this conservation and efficiency. How would that look like in terms of getting something, like you said, people in their homes, if they could stop using as much energy, but they would have to have some kind of retrofitting? Is there some kind of plan for that?
There's lots of proven ways in North America and Europe for promoting energy efficiency for retrofitting buildings, for putting in renewable energy systems. It's not rocket science. We simply have to steal the good ideas from other places. In fact, the Americans actually had a really good idea, currently under attack by the new Congress, where you could get a loan, where basically the municipality gave you a loan for retrofitting your home, and you repaid for it out of your property taxes. Because the problem is, these things all have a payback, but it's often sort of 5 to 10 years to get the full value back. People don't actually think necessarily they're going to own their home that long. So if they're only going to have the home for 5 years and it's going to take 6 years to pay back, they say, why should I do that? Whereas when you attach the loan to the house and it's paid back over a 10 or 15 year time period, sort of, you know, kind of like a mortgage, it's very affordable. And if you sell the home, then the next person sort of pays for that because they're actually getting the benefit from it. They're getting the lower energy bills. And the end result is it costs us less because we're buying less fuel, there's less pollution, and a lot less stress on our infrastructure. It's, you know, it's a win-win all the way around. But there's lots of programs like that. And one of the other great things is actually a lot more jobs in doing this type of stuff than there is in, you know, the tar sands in northern Alberta.
Yeah, tell me something about the jobs. You said there weren't that many jobs in, you know, projects like the tar sands. You know, there's a promise of lots of green jobs. Can you tell me something about that?
Any solution to climate change is going to involve a lot of people doing a lot of work. Retrofitting buildings, installing solar panels, building the solar panels, building the windmills, running the public transit systems. The fossil fuel industry, however, is really capital intensive. When you look at those guys driving a truck that's 4 stories high, you know, there's not a lot of people working there when they're driving trucks that are 4 stories high and when they're using scoop shovels that, you know, could pick up your home and drop it into the back of that truck. So when you look at per dollar spent, you get a lot more jobs out of the sort of green energy investments, the green investments. But we also have to start thinking about, you know, jobs for what purpose. You know, if the job that you're doing is basically speeding up the destruction of the planet, undermining the ecosystems we all rely on, you know, that's not a long-term job. Whereas if it's tapping into those renewable energies so that we can sort of live kind of working with nature rather than trying to impose on top of nature, those are things that are going to be around for a long time. And in Germany, they currently have over 350,000 people working in the renewable energy industries. This isn't some sort of future technology. This is happening right now. It's the biggest manufacturer in the world is China, but the fact that, you know, Canadian companies have been moving to Germany to set up shop to build solar panels is a sign that Canada can get into this marketplace as well.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Keith.
Word up. So thanks a lot for sending that in to Robin Nieto, the longtime co-host, and some info there on the oil subsidies, info on the environment, always trying to bring you the info that you need to know about what's going on the planet and what's going on politically. We got a big rally coming up next Tuesday. Free Mumia is the rally, and this one's Channel Live KRS-One. Free Mumia.
Everywhere I look, there's another house Negro talking about their people and how they should be equal. They're talking, but the conversation ain't going nowhere. You can't diss hip-hop, so don't you even go there. See Dolores Tucker, you want to quote the scripture? Every time you hear nigga, listen up, sister.
I met up with this girl named Dolores, a prankster. I said her MC, she said you're a gangster, but she was caught up. She hit the floor like a break dance. Wrapped her up like the arms in the B-boy stance. Recognize, mom, I'm one of your sons. I'm here, hop in the form of Channel 9 and KRS-One. Representing MCs across America, she said, oh, you're the one who be causing all that mass hysteria.
Wisdom shall come out of the mouths of babes and suckling, but you're blinded by cultural ignorance and steady judging. But judge not, least he may be judged. For the judge me, he judge. Ye shall surely be judged, you get so
love. She said, I like it, that's why I jock it. Then I said, you only on my back because I fill brothers' pockets. Got them driving Benzes, Jeeps, and Rolls Royces. Attacking me would leave you with no voices. The choice is yours, not mine. Hang with me. I have you freestyle and bombing graffiti. We can cut it up like wax. Claiming I caused violence, but America was violent before rap. Facts.
Order, Electra, Atlantic equals we are. Instead of fighting them, why don't you go free Mumia? Order, Electra, Atlantic equals we are. Instead of fighting them, why don't you go free Mumia?
On recital, I kicks the vital like the final goal as I watch Babylon fall. I had to rush Limbaugh, hit that pig with an axe. Stuffy dips through the side, fucking cannon at bat. Because he censored the uses of the metaphor. You can get the from my. Because it's you that brings the real horrorcore. Expenditures be getting cut from the poor.
Why sure? Back before we were born, they sold us out. Yeah, Jay Jackson, we know what you about. He's a slave mason, not a Freemason. Before long, the goddess Tiamat through hip-hop will be tracing. Don't stop me, cause I'll beat her.
lyricist at the 1999 Millennium Party held at Giza, saying he's a fraud. Oh my God, it's never in your life you should disrespect an artist. Instead, focus your attention on astronomy and the up and coming, shifting the economy. If you can't do that, then heed the final call to free Mumia, Abu, Jamal.
Hate to be so rough, it could be the White Owls. House niggas are full of crap like my Colin Powell. Kicking vowels is how we relieve the tension. Until we start to bounce white people like suspension. Revolution. You paint the pitch, just the black man on the corner. But tell me, who blew up Oklahoma? The city, ain't no pity. The beast that's talking that voice from the east.
Warner, Electra, Atlantic equals Rio. Instead of fighting them, why don't you go free with Mumia? Warner, Electra, Atlantic equals Rio. Instead of fighting them, why don't you go free with Mumia? It sounds like gunshots, but it could be the pluck of a chicken. Definition is what you're missing in. Listen to your children instead of dissing them. Senator Dole doesn't understand the young one. Like they be saying want to, but we be saying want. They getting dumber every summer as they walk the road. Mainly because they cannot understand the
world. In actuality, this moment-based mentality always seems to represent minus 360%, 4 degrees full circle. Dead from the purple rays of the sun, I got melanin, so check it. Bagging nuts quicker, get sick from being naked, suspected. Was it the means for the ends, for just a view to drive a bend while you eat the pig skins? Searching into mannequins is the trick of technology and revelation. Revelation, sensation gives me inspiration. A revolution, that's my solution. There will be no sequels. I'm out 144,000 with my people.
From Caligula to Hitler, now it's Schwarzenegger. A lust for the violence is the science of their behavior who enslaved you. But the god of virtuosity and of the world created, could it be mental side of me? Got my mind twisted like the veins of Montelupe. I sit in disbelief as he crawls underneath. The rock cocked back the Glock, cause I don't trust the devil. I rebel until Babylon is dust.
Warner, Electra, Atlantic equals Rhea. Instead of fighting them, why don't you go free with Mia? Warner, Electra, Atlantic equals Rhea.
Tuesday, November 9th, 6 p.m. in front of the U.S. Consulate, 360 University Avenue, the Free Mumia emergency protest to stop the execution Free Mumia rally next Tuesday, November the 9th. And the last time that we had a report from a Free Mumia rally was 2008. So what I'm going to do right now, just as our last segment here, is just play a quick clip here, bit of clips here from our 2008, a throwback here from some of the speeches and interviews. Free Mumia, here's the rally.
Some would say word up. A man of color, a black man, a member of the Black Panthers, a black activist. And while all may be true, he was and still is a man who was and is active on behalf of his people. A man watched by the police, set up by the police, and victimized by the police. There is a song of freedom for the Cuban Five. There is a song of freedom for all indigenous peoples across the world who stand and fight for their people in our jails. There is a song of freedom for Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Free Mumia, free the KI-6. Free Mumia, free the KI-6.
My name is Jamshid Hadian, International Committee Against Execution, whose main focus of work is saving the lives of those condemned to death in Iran, is against execution of any human being anywhere in the world. Free Mumia now!
Free Mumia now! Free Mumia now! I'd next like to welcome Farshad Azadian of Always Question.
We are here protesting the false charging and the wrongful arrest of Mumia Abu-Jamal. Woo! This man was brave enough to fight oppression. The capitalist state responds with police force whenever it feels threatened by dissent. This can be seen with the criminalization of our indigenous brothers and sisters, our immigrant brothers and sisters, and all other political prisoners under the capitalist regime.
The same government that is holding Mumia Abu-Jamal gave the South African apartheid regime, not Nelson Mandela, atomic bombs. Mumia Abu-Jamal would be the person that would tell you that. There's a nice story in the New African magazine that deals with that. Mumia Abu-Jamal is a journalist. Mumia Abu-Jamal is younger than I am, but Mumia Abu-Jamal is a model for me.
Free Mumia! This is the labor and minorities have the power. Free Mumia. This is the hour. Labor and minorities have the power. Do
This is Daniel Libby reporting live on the scene at the Free Mumia Abu Jamal rally, and I'm here with one of the organizers. Could you introduce yourself?
John Masters of the Partisan Defense Committee.
And how did you think today went?
I thought it went very well. We had a wide spread of groups out here, and I particularly want to point to the importance of organized labor from the Postal Union, Canadian Union of Public Employees, the Steelworkers Union, and many others who come out here. It's union power, the power of the working class, that we have to mainly look to at the head of all the oppressed in the fight to free Mumia.
And I know this situation has been going on for decades. When did you get involved with this?
Well, our group first got involved in the fight to free Mumia way back in 1988, when, frankly, almost nobody knew him about around the world. The Partisan Defense Committee began by solidarizing with the MOVE organization, where the victims of a firebombing in Philadelphia by the Philly police and the FBI that killed many of their members. The MOVE organization put us onto Mumia. We took up his defense case. We've been fighting for it for two decades now, and we're pulling in other forces, but yes, we've been involved from the start and are, I would say, central to the protest movement that's going on around the world today. Go to our website, which is partisandefenseoneword.org.
Great. And any final words?
Free Mumia, and it's part of the struggle against this whole racist, repressive, capitalist system.
Free Mumia now! Free Mumia now! Free Mumia now!
Live on the scene with legendary CKLN host Norman Otis Richmond. How did you feel today's rally?
I thought there could have been more people, but I think it's a good re-beginning, because I was here in 95, and I was heartened by the fact you had the labor movement, the trade union movement, but I think there should be more people of color here. I think that's the role of ourselves as CKLN, and to bring a multinational contingency to this issue.
I hope that all our listeners are also tuning in to Saturday Morning Live, and I know you've been playing the Mumia radio program at 10 a.m. every week. When did that all start?
It started maybe 5 years ago. He does one, two, maybe three commentaries per week. You know, why just waste them? I mean, we're not the CBC. I know the CBC has played his commentaries, but maybe once every 10 years they might hear one. You know, the corporate media, they've never played him. I don't know if they've ever mentioned him.
One thing I was wondering about is how jail is such a place of non-freedom, how Mumia is able to get his message out.
It's through the phone. He works with a woman by the name of Noelle Hanrahan, and she tapes his commentaries every week, and he gets books, newspapers. I don't know if he has access to the internet, but I marvel at the fact that he's able to be on top of so many things that we're not even on top of outside of, some of us on this side of the prison. He seems to be on top of situations in North America and Africa, Europe, the whole world. So I marvel at that all the time.
Maybe we should try to get the community mobilized to lobby media organizations to be focusing on this.
Oh, yeah. I think the CBC definitely should be called, because that's supposed to be our station. And Now Magazine and those are supposedly not tied to the corporation. So we should lobby them, definitely. Keep listening to Wednesday Word of Mouth. That's about it.
Word up. Word of Mouth Wednesday. So that is our show there for the 3rd of November, 2010. Just want to thank everyone for listening. Also thank Rob Nieto for sending in his report there from the oil subsidy. Shout out to Greenpeace Canada. Also shout out to Real Clear Politics for giving us some info, some stats there on the elections. Shout out to the people that are participating in the politics in the U.S. Also Manifesto TV. Search themanifesto.ca for the full Ernie Panicoli Ryerson University speech. Also, the Free Mumia Abu Jamal rally taking place next Tuesday, November the 9th, 2010, 6 p.m. at the U.S. Consulate, 360 University Avenue. Stop the execution next Tuesday, November 9th. This Saturday, Toronto Tree Seeker Street Action. Also, tune in to Saturday Morning Live. Probably more on that rally. And stay tuned as well to the next show. Coming up next is the Blue Remedy. Tonight is going to be, it's not the Blues Dr. Julie Hill, but we got a guest host, and you're going to have to keep on listening to find out just who it is. That's right. Word of Mouth Wednesday is signing off for this week. My name is Daniel Libby, and tune in next week. We'll be back with our G20 Korea warning to you. Word up, word of mouth, word out.